1904. January 1st, 1904. Together with God, Ellen G. White. Christ is the light of the world. Those who follow him do not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John declares of Christ, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Behold Christ. Beholding him brings mind and heart and character into conformity to the will of God. Thus, man is enabled to follow Christ's example. He sees that his faults must be overcome, and that his appetites and passions must be subject to God's will, that he must be a partaker of the divine nature, having overcome the corruption that is in the world through lust. The convicted sinner, having repented for his transgression of God's law, strives earnestly to overcome sin. He seeks to reveal the power of Christ's grace, and he is brought into personal touch with the Savior. Constantly he keeps Christ before him. Denying self and lifting the cross, he follows the Redeemer from grade to grade of perfection. Praying, believing, receiving the blessings he needs, he comes nearer and nearer to God's standard for him. Christ is our example, our inspiration, our exceeding great reward. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. God is the master builder, but man has a part to act. He is to cooperate with God. We are laborers together with God. Never forget the words, together with God. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The miracle-working power of Christ's grace is revealed in the creation in man of a new heart, a higher life, a holy enthusiasm. God says, "A new heart also will I give unto you." Is not this renewal of man the greatest miracle that can be performed? What cannot the human agent do who by faith takes hold of divine power? He loves the Lord Jesus with his whole heart, and Christ becomes his wisdom, his righteousness, his sanctification, and his redemption. Remember that working with Christ as your personal Savior is your strength and your victory. This is the part all are to act. To those who do this comes the assurance, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He declares, "Without me ye can do nothing." And the repenting soul responds, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Christ is the sympathetic, compassionate Redeemer. In his sustaining power, men and women become strong to resist evil. As the convicted sinner looks at sin, it becomes to him exceeding sinful. He wonders that he did not come to Christ before. New virtues are revealed in his character as he denies self and lifts the cross, following where Christ leads the way. Christ has given his commission. "Go ye into all the world." All must hear the message of warning. A prize of richest value is held up before those who are running the Christian race. Those who run with patience will receive a crown that fadeth not away. February 1st, 1904. Sanctification. Ellen G. White. Our sanctification is God's object in all his dealing with us. He has chosen us from eternity that we may be holy. Christ gave himself for our redemption, that through our faith in his power to save from sin, we might be made complete in him. In giving us his word, he has given us bread from heaven. He declares that if we eat his flesh and drink his blood, we shall receive eternal life. Why do we not dwell more upon this? Why do we not strive to make it more easily understood, when it means so much? Why do not Christians open their eyes to see the work God requires them to do? Sanctification is the progressive work of a lifetime. The Lord declares, "This is the will of God, even your sanctification." Is it your will that your desires and inclinations shall be brought into conformity with the divine will? As Christians, we have pledged ourselves to realize and fulfill our responsibilities, and to show to the world that we have a close connection with God. Thus, through the godly words and works of His disciples, Christ is to be represented. God demands of us perfect obedience to His law, the expression of His character. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. This law is the echo of God's voice, saying to us, "Holier, yes, holier still, desire the fullness of the grace of Christ. Yea, long, hunger, and thirst after righteousness." The promise is, "Ye shall be filled." Let your heart be filled with an intense longing for this righteousness, the work of which God's word declares is peace, and its effect, quietness and assurance forever.
It is our privilege to be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God has plainly stated that He requires us to be perfect, and because He requires this, He has made provision that we may be partakers of the divine nature. Only thus can we gain success in our striving for eternal life. The power is given by Christ. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. God requires of us conformity to His image. Holiness is the reflection from His people of the bright rays of His glory. But in order to reflect this glory, we must work with God. The heart and mind must be emptied of all that leads to wrong. The Word of God must be read and studied, with an earnest desire to gain from it spiritual power. The bread of heaven must be eaten and digested, that it may become a part of the life. Thus we gain eternal life. Then is answered the prayer of the Savior, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." The angels cannot take our places, but they stand ready to cooperate with us in drawing souls to Christ, and they are soliciting us to work in fellowship with them. Ellen G. White, May 1, 1904. Laborers Needed. Ellen G. White. Many fields are open for the proclamation of the gospel of truth. One thing is certain: we must have more laborers. I know of no other way of obtaining them than by praying most earnestly to our Heavenly Father. I am satisfied that God's people need the impartation of the Holy Spirit. When they receive the Spirit, they will go to work to do what needs to be done. They need to awake to a realization of their half-hearted way of working. I cannot see how they dare to stand in their present position, a position of spiritual indifference. Is not the warning in the Word of God of sufficiently grave import to lead them to make an unreserved consecration of themselves to God's service? "These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how that thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. We need more zeal and animation in the Lord's work, more genuine interest in matters of eternal importance. When we know that the Lord cannot be glorified in us unless we surrender all to Him, why do we not cast our helpless souls upon Him? Why do we not abide in Him, that He may abide in us? When we do this, we shall be a living power in the world. The change in our spiritual experience will witness to the power of the truth. We shall be bright lights, shining amid the moral darkness of the world. Since the Lord has declared that He is more willing to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him than parents are to give good gifts to their children, why do we not accept the promise so freely made? Why do we not consecrate ourselves to God? Entire surrender to the Lord is something that is revealed in the daily life, and it exerts an influence upon other lives. In the Sermon on the Mount, Christ has given a definition of true sanctification. He lived a life of holiness. He was an object lesson of what His followers are to be. We are to be crucified with Christ, buried with Him, and then quickened by His Spirit. Then we are filled with His life.